Yeah, this is a song by Boshu Ramananda. But most of the song is spoken in the voice of Radha. She is talking. She says, Nanda Nandana Shane Doshi, who is there by association with Nanda Nandan, Krishna, who has not become faulty or a sinner, especially among the women of Gokul? Alas, I am unfortunate. I've become Kula Kalankini, means I've become a disgracer of my family. To say this, my eyes fill with water. To speak or hear the faults of others is itself a fault. That is the rule which has been made since the time of creation by the Creator. But my faults, my transgressions, all of them, they are sung by the devotees. Bhagavat, by the Bhagavat, means by the devotees, and by the Srimad Bhagavatam, and shouted out loud by the Vedas and all other associated literature and the Puranas. Some sing my apayash, my infamy, gently. Some sing it loudly, and some chant it within the mind. Then there are it's such an established system that my wonderful, she's saying here in a sardonic, sarcastic way, these wonderful talks about me are spoken for the disciples to hear. Furthermore, whoever hears about me, they become like me. And they go and live in Vrindavan and talk all these things. So, Boshu Ramananda, so it sounds like a very sad song, but Boshu Ramananda says happily that I can't say anything. No words come to my mouth. But from my eyes is a stream of tears. So we'll sing it and then discuss it somewhat. This is suitable for Radhashtami particularly. Radharani speaking through the mouth or through the pure consciousness of Ramananda Boshu. Maybe you know, I hope you know, Ramananda is, how to say, it's practically non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai is very famous in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but this is not written, this song is not composed or better to state manifested by Ramananda Rai. This is Ramananda Boshu, a resident of Kulina Gram. Yeah, Vaishnav songs, they're not so much, not that someone sits down and thinks what to write, but they manifest from the heart. We're just talking about kirtan. Kirtan is not from the mouth. Kirtan is from the heart. Begins in the heart. It's manifest in the heart, and then it's expressed through the mouth. So in his pure heart, the words of Radharani have manifested. And from these words spoken by Srimati Radharani, we can understand as much as we can with our very limited ability to understand, but that ability can be given and enhanced by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to the world for this purpose. Radhar Mahima Prema Rasa Shima Jagati Janatoke. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one else but him could reveal the glories of Radha. So he came to reveal this, and those who are fortunate can take part in this. So why the importance of Radha, we can understand. Radhar Mahima, the glories of Radha, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to preach. Why, what is the importance? What is the, we can understand from this song. We can also understand why, even though this is to be preached, if we ask, what is the essence of Gauriya Siddhanta, teachings of the Gauriya Vaishnavas? So, different persons may give different answers. You could say, Jibe Shurup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. One could give the Dashamul, the 10 points that Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarized as the teachings. But one answer, and probably the best answer of all, is that Gauriyas are worshippers of who? Gauriya Vaishnavas worship who? Gauranga. Yeah, well, different Gauriyas may say different things. That's also possible. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Vaishnava is a general term which means a worshipper of Vishnu. Karshna is a term you maybe haven't heard. It's there in the Bhagavatam. Please stop tinging the kartals now. It means a worshipper of Krishna. And Gauriya means worshipper of Radha. So why we worship Radha, and why also our acharyas have been very cautious in speaking about Radha. Generally, we, at least the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're very cautious in this matter about speaking, even though this is practically the only subject to be discussed, the glories of Radha. Why we're very cautious to do so? We get some idea from this song. So Radha says that there is no one who, by association with Nanda Nandan, who has not become doshi, means a sinner. They've gone wrong. They've gone astray. Now this, from the very beginning, is, we may say, a very strange religion. The British in India, they certified in a court case that Krishna is a very bad person. They would have tried to put him in prison, like Duryodhana tried. He wasn't able. They say, they see, all this Vaishnava religion is very bad. What do you expect when it's based on this Krishna, who's a completely immoral person? So from the, of course, this could be a very big discussion. In fact, I recently gave a few lectures on Krishna's apparent immorality. accusations against Krishna. So it can be a very big subject. But from the external point of view, Krishna doesn't live as a very pious person in many ways. Especially his activities with the gopis of Vrindavan, who are married to other men, and Krishna enjoys with them. Jayo jayo jvala rasa sarva rasa sa parakya bhave jaha brajate pracha. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has analyzed all the different kinds of relationships one can have with Krishna and has summarized that the topmost, the essence of all of them, is that topmost, resplendent parakya bhav, which means the Krishna relating with females who are married to others. This is preached or propagated in Vrindavan, not elsewhere. This is only in Vrindavan. We don't find this in Mathura or Dwaraka or Vaikuntha, definitely not in Ayodhya. There's no such thing. So this is the topmost, but in the material world, the perverted reflection of that is the bottommost. I don't know if there's any such word as bottommost. It's the most despicable. Of course, in the modern world, it's considered normal. Quite acceptable. Which is why, or one of the main reasons why Srila Prabhupada often referred to the modern civilization as cat and dog civilization. Polished animals. Very low class. To intimately associate with another man's wife is the worst thing, practically, anyone can do. And for spiritual life, it's the complete antithesis. Because Pungsastriya Mithuni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridaya Grantim Ahuhu Aho Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitair Janasya Moho Yamahamameti. The attraction between male and female is the underlying principle of material existence. It's what binds us in this material world. And when a man becomes united with a woman, there becomes a very strong knot on the heart. And from this, you know the word stri. Stri means who expands. So one expands one's interest into having... One has to have a home and some land, or one identifies with one country, one's country, Mera Bharat Mahan, for instance, or Pakistan Zindabad, or God Bless America, or Rule Britannia, or such things. Then children, friends, relatives, society, money, one's thoughts become absorbed in this, and one thinks in terms of I, me and mine, and is bewildered in this material world. There is a way to regulate this male-female attraction in a manner that does not lead to gross degradation and can even be dovetailed into Krishna consciousness, into spiritual consciousness. That is called the institution of marriage. Marriage is a sacred, it's not just, as some people say, it's just a piece of paper, marriage certificate. It's a sacred institution. So to violate that by taking someone's wife is grossly sinful, very disturbing in society. It violates the religious principles. It results in Varna Sankara, children who are born out of the polluted consciousness of their parents, who cause so much disturbance in the world. People can't even understand these things because they're all Varna Sankara. There's no culture. So practically the worst thing one can do is to associate with other people's wives. Krishna does so. And Krishna's doing so is understood by Gauriya Vaishnavas, especially, but others also. They appreciate that this is the highest level of spirituality. Some try to explain it away by saying it's all allegorical. Such people are atheists, even though externally they may appear to be pious Hindus. Oh, this is the highest. Understood in this way, that this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Just like a tree at the edge of a lake. If we see a tree beside a still lake, we can see a perfect facsimile or representation of the tree. It looks exactly like the tree in the lake. But it's not the tree. And there may be beautiful mangoes in the tree, and it looks the same in the lake, but it's not. It's of a different substance. Looks the same, but it's of a different category altogether. Now, that which is at the bottom of the real tree appears just next to the reflection. It's the beginning of the top of the reflection. So the top of the tree becomes the bottom of the reflection. So in the same way, that which is the top in the spiritual world becomes the bottom in the material world. And there are various reasons why we can understand that Krishna's pastimes with the gopis is not only not immoral, but it is the highest level of morality. It is Krishna who expands himself, eko bahu syam, one became many, for the purpose of pleasure, for giving. He gives pleasure. Krishna gives pleasure to everyone, everything, even the materialist, his pleasure, that also comes from Krishna. But Krishna is especially interested in giving pleasure to his devotees. And he particularly does so with the gopis, who are the most qualified to reciprocate. Tell him the Hindi anuvad. Kaha pa ho raha hai? Wo unke liye. So this is a whole, this Srila Prabhupada, Shukdev Goswami discusses this at the behest of Parikshit Maharaj. We'll find when Shukdev begins to explain the Rasa Leela, Parikshit Maharaj, for the benefit of others who are present there, asks, how is it that Krishna, who comes to institute dharma, acts in a way which is considered completely against dharma? Please switch off your phone. Whoever's phone is going off is yours. Yeah. And Shukdev Goswami answers, so you can consult that in the 10th canto or Krishna book, in which in Krishna book Srila Prabhupada elaborates, explaining why actually the gopis, they're no one's husband. Except the gopis' husband is no one is the husband of the gopis except Krishna. Therefore we have names Gopi Vallabha, for instance. The husband of the gopis. It's only a show for the sake of Leela that the gopis are apparently someone else's wife. But it appears to be something wrong. And Krishna and the gopis, under the self-willingly, under the spell of yoga, maya, even though Krishna is the supreme controller, he's sarva shaktiman, he's possessed of all energies, he willingly comes under, as is stated in the Bhagavatam, this Ras Leela, it is conducted Krishna yoga maya upashrita, Krishna taking shelter or coming under his own yoga maya, his internal potency, he dances with the gopis. But from there, from Krishna and the gopis' perspective, they don't think, oh, actually we're all very good and there's nothing wrong. They think, actually, what will happen if our husbands, that feeling is there. Our husbands may catch us, our grandparents or mother-in-law, they may catch us. So Radha, she says that who is there by association with Krishna who has not become sinful? So we have to understand this from the platform of Leela, that the enjoyment becomes sweeter when it's thought that we are enjoying together, but we could be caught at any time and we could be shamed. That's one level. Another level is to understand this is not a fault at all. It's only perceived as being a fault. Those who perceive Krishna as being faulty, they are faulty. Krishna is the supreme pure. Simply by chanting his name, one becomes purified. Then how can Krishna be impure? We practically see how the name of Krishna purifies others. So it's a great philosophy. And to speak it all now is not possible. I hope and presume that all, or at least the great majority of you here, are familiar with this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So it appears that Radha is faulty, but she is the most worshipable, which is why we're celebrating Radhashtami. She is more worshipable even than Krishna. We'll get back to that later, hopefully, if there's enough time. So, she says, who has not become faulty by associating with Krishna? Generally, the women, especially in Vedic culture, they try to be a good sahada. Woman means stri dharma. She follows stri dharma. And she tries to do very perfectly. Or perfectly. There's no such thing as very perfectly. It's either perfect or it's not perfect. But for men, especially, there may be so many faults in their activities. As Krishna told Arjuna, sava rambha hido shena, everything you do, there's some fault. The Brahmins, they may perform sacrifices in which animals are killed. They may become the priests of persons who themselves are faulty. So Brahmins, they also try to be perfect, but by their very activities there may be some unavoidable fault. Kshatriyas, under certain circumstances, can eat meat, drink wine, associate with women other than their wives, and gamble. All the regulated principles. The Kshatriyas, under certain circumstances, have a license to break. Vaishyas, generally the farming is considered a very noble, pure occupation. But those who are doing business, in many lines of business, some kind of not 100% truthfulness is involved, and Shudras, they're not expected to be anyway perfect in any way. They're just expected that they'll do all kinds of sinful activities. So in the men there may be some fault, but the woman tries to do her dharma completely perfectly. She doesn't have to indulge in faulty activities. Her dharma, for a woman, stated in Shastra, that she has no higher dharma than to serve her husband. For her, doing austerities, not required, doing a job in an office, definitely not at all advisable, or in a factory for that matter, or whatever. Service to the husband. Krishna states this to the gopis. There's no higher dharma. Of course, if the husband is a Vaishnava, she shares in the spiritual merits that he has. So this is very strongly stressed in Vedic culture. The role of women, they get all the benefit that a man can get from performing severe austerities, studying the Vedas and so on, simply by serving the husband. And even if the husband is a rascal, she can benefit him by her fidelity to him. So this is the Vedic practice. If you'd like to understand more about that, it's in my latest book called Mothers and Masters. We have some copies here, I believe. So for a woman to become, even if there's any talk, she's talking, even if there's gossip, you see, she's talking with someone else's, with another man. It becomes a great kalanka or a mark on her character. What to speak of regularly associating? Nowadays it's become normal. It's encouraged. Women and men mix up and they laugh and smile at each other and then they, everything. But this is sinful. This is very, very much proscribed. So Radha is saying, in Gokul, this Krishna, he has spoiled everyone. Every woman here is become faulty. Of course, there are a few who, for the sake of Leela, they don't associate with Krishna. They blame Radha, especially her mother-in-law and sister, Jotila and Kutila. So she says, Radharani says, hi, alas, I'm unfortunate. I've become Kula Kalankini, one who has given disgrace to the family. Again, in modern life, people don't understand this because no one thinks of our family prestige or any such thing. But previously it was like that. The people would say that I have to behave properly. Otherwise it will bring disgrace, not just to me, but to my family and all my previous family, going back generations and generations. There's no such concept nowadays. People are besharam. The Hindi word is there. Shameless. They have no shame. And even they'll promote what previously was considered shameless. Very good. It's very good. May Gujarati jain ho or sab kuch khata ho. Beef sab kuch. Gar se kaho, may beef khane wale jain ho. They may say, I don't know if anyone's saying like that, but the day is coming. They're doing secretly, many. And next thing when they're discovered, they'll say, so what? It's my life, I'll do what I like with it. So all this, when the consciousness of sense gratification is promoted, then people become sinful to the point of shamelessness. And such sinfulness and shamelessness becomes considered proper. And to state that there should be standards in human society, chastity, There are many words which previously they were chastity. I don't think anyone talks about this hardly. The word is fading out from the English language. There used to be words like fornication. You don't know that word. But it means, yeah, wanton sexual behavior. Wanton, you also don't know. It means whimsical, just going here and there. Sodomy, which means to male, to have sex with another male. These words are practically not used. They were used to be very bad words, but now it's considered not bad. It's okay, it's good. So why maintain such a word? So it's very difficult to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, even to understand it conceptually, unless one understands, first of all, what is ordinary dharma. This Radha Krishna Leela, this is above the platform of ordinary dharma. But if one tries to understand it without understanding basic dharma, then one will think, oh, I see, oh, Krishna and Radha, okay, yeah, all right, well, let's get the wife next door. They'll take what is lower than dharma to be Radha and Krishna Leela. They take it to be the same thing, whereas there's a complete difference. One is above dharma, the other is below dharma. Which is why we're very careful in preaching this widely. We preach widely, we are all spiritual beings, we are not the body, we eternally exist. Our eternal relationship is with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as we do not recognize that, we have to suffer birth after birth in this world. This is our basic presentation. That Krishna is dancing with the gopis, we don't preach very widely or publicly, and even among our own devotees, we may be very cautious, because the tendency to misunderstand it is very strong. It's much easier for us to imagine or conceptualize, oh, man and woman, not married, dancing together, having a thick relationship. It's much easier for us to imagine that in the world we know where it goes on, than to understand that this is far, far beyond even the best behaved, far above even the best behaved religious people of this world. So the tendency to misunderstand it is very strong due to our lack of basic spiritual understanding and cultural grounding. You're all coming from India, where Radha Krishna pastimes have been known for many years, but no one would say this is immoral. Only when the Christians came, they started saying it was immoral. Because people understood, they may not have been very great philosophers, but they understood that these are the pastimes of Bhagavan. He's on a different platform to us. So she says, Radharani says, to anaje apadosh kahite shunite dosh, to broadcast the infamy of others, or to hear that, is also a fault. So others may be faulty, but one should not be a fault finder. It doesn't mean that we should think that there's no difference between pious activities and sinful activities. We should know. And if someone is sinful, we should also know. At least to protect ourselves from their association and to protect others. People should know. If someone is a gross sinner, we should be aware of that. But it's not that we should take pleasure in meditating on the faults of others. You maybe know the story Srila Prabhupada told of the brahmana and the prostitute. One brahmana, he was in the same village, one prostitute was there, living in the same village. And the brahmana would always say, "Oh, what a bad woman. Oh, very bad." And he even got the habit of watching her house, for men would come, and every man would come, he'd keep a stone, so he could, and then the pile was building up. So he was saying, "Oh, very bad woman." He was meditating on her sinfulness. And she herself thought, "Oh, I'm so unfortunate. I didn't want to get, somehow I landed in this ignoble profession." It's called the world's oldest profession by people who don't know about Lord Brahma and others. Somehow I'm in this unfortunate situation. I'm not pure like that brahmana. I can simply pray for the mercy of Krishna to deliver me. So at the time of death, the brahmana, he was always thinking of the prostitute, so he took a sinful birth because he was meditating on the faults of the prostitute. But she was praying to Krishna for mercy and she went to Krishna. Now, that's a story that's told to illustrate a point. It's not that one can be a butcher or a prostitute, and we're not recommending it, and you just pray to Krishna and you'll be delivered. But it demonstrates the point that one should not meditate on the faults of others. That is the rule which has been established since the beginning of creation by the Creator. Ache heno bidhi bidha. But, Radharani says, all of my faults are broadcast by the devotees. The devotees are supposed to be the purest people, but they broadcast my faults. Why should the purest people broadcast the faults? Because they're not faults. What appears to be the fault in Radha is the most pure, inimitable behavior. Do you know this word inimitable means don't try to imitate? The devotees say, and all the Vedic literature broadcast it very loudly. Of course, it's not, most people can't find that in the Vedas, but all the Vedas, Vedaisya Sarvaraha Vedaha, Krishna is who is to be known in the Vedas, and Krishna means Radha Krishna. If we have time, which I don't think, no, we don't have time. There's some other songs to be sung in this regard. So some these faults of Radha, she says, someone sings quietly, someone sings loudly, someone recites it in their mind. So there may be someone is reciting Radha Sahasranama, the thousand names of Radha, or the pastimes of Radha in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So devotees, they meditate on this and chant it. She says, I've even heard, Iman Shunet, or you may have heard, that these wonderful talks, I mean, actually they're wonderful, but she's saying in a sadly ironic way, that even the guru, who's supposed to give the pure instruction to others, he's the gurus, they're giving to their disciple, they're telling the disciples about me. So she feels very sad in this way. What is more, she says, whoever hears about me, they become like me. And they go to live in Vrindavan. So, Ramananda Bosu, an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll find his name in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his happiness, considering all of this, words fail to come from his mouth. Actually, he's just given a beautiful song. But he says that tears flow from my eyes. So this is the highest, most, what words will describe it? Boshu Ramananda Shuke Bachanda Ashvare Muke. There's nothing what to say. Yet we should say. But by words it's indescribable. Still we have to try to describe. Okay, so that's there in brief. So why this? It appears to be a fault, but actually it's the highest level of spiritual realization. Radha Krishna Leela. And why we shouldn't broadcast it? Because people, they will say, oh, it's all very sinful, faulty. That we can understand from this song. And how Radha is expressing her sorrow at this, which is another feature of her Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, blissful spiritual feelings and exchanges. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Another, not Boshu, Bashu Ghosh, another Gauriya, Padakarta, means who has made kirtans. He sings, Jodi gorna hoito tobe ki hoito kemane dharitamde. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, what would have happened? How could we maintain this body? How could we live? I hope we all feel like that. What is the meaning of life without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why is that? Why? What's so special? Because Radhar Mahima, the glories of Radha, which are Prema Rasa Shima, the ultimate limit of the unlimited Prema Rasa. Jagate Janatoke. Who but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have given this? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. He is Radha and Krishna come together in one form. It's actually Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He is the form of Krishna, but with the feelings and bodily effulgence of Radharani. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples asked him, who is greater, Krishna or Gauranga? There were two of them, they were arguing. One was saying, no, Krishna, he's the greatest. Another one said, Gauranga is the greatest. Krishna is supreme. Gauranga doesn't act as supreme, but he gives us Krishna. So then Prabhupada, he was asked, Srila Prabhupada said, who is greater, Krishna or Gauranga? The answer is Radha. That's the answer. How is that? Because Krishna is impelled to become Gauranga by Gaurangi. Radha, so when he takes, he is paripurna, purnamadaha, purnamidam, purnat, purnamudat, you all know this. He's complete, full, but he feels himself incomplete without Radha. Therefore, he has to take the form of a devotee to relish what are the feelings, the happiness of Radharani in contemplating Krishna, in being with Krishna, how she relishes the beauty of Krishna. So I'll just take a little time to... We can sing one more song.